Please stand. Our service begins on page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, I will direct you to the inside of your bulletin as we speak together the introit responsibly. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him, bless his name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
And his faithfulness to all generations.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
We continue speaking the Kyrie on page 152. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ, the Lamb who was slain.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray together the collect of the day as it's found in your bulletin. Let us pray.
Almighty God, whose mercies are new every morning, and whose goodness, though undeserved, still abundantly provides for all our wants of body and soul, grant us, we humbly pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for this evening comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle text, as well as our sermon text for this evening, comes from Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound, in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger,
abundance, and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours, according to his riches in glory, in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. We speak together the common response.
Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, or 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. At this time, we sing together our next hymn, number 941.
Thank you. as ever and in glory everlasting. Amen, O Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tomorrow is a big day, especially in the midst of our world right now, because tomorrow is a day to be thankful. Now, this year, your Thanksgiving may look a little bit different than Thanksgivings of the past, or maybe not. Maybe this Thanksgiving will be somewhat of a call back to normalcy on some level or another. But however you celebrate the holiday, there is one thing that you should give special attention to tomorrow, one special consideration that you should keep in the forefront of your mind. Thanks be to God for the year 2020. Yes, even this year. This one in which we have recognized all sorts of awful things, but it is still a year in which God has provided for us. And so, lest you think you misheard me before, I'll say it again. Thanks be to God for the year 2020. But maybe you're not feeling very thankful today. Maybe the hardships of 2020 have prevented you from seeing one blessing or another that God has given you. Maybe it's the coronavirus, which we all know is sending down more lockdowns on top of us. Maybe it's because of the election results from the first half of this month. Maybe it's because there's been a death in your family. Maybe there's a financial burden. Maybe because everything is so emotionally charged this year that a relationship that you once valued has now broken and fallen apart. There are so many things that have happened to us this year, and it makes us question, why should we be thankful for this year at all? God's word to you, God's word to the church in Philippi, could come at no better moment. See, in the first verse of our text for today, we hear these words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There are a lot of things that makes us anxious about this year. There are a lot of cares and worries that we have. And what does God tell us to do in order to release us from these anxieties? He tells us to pray. It doesn't matter how big or how small the thing that you are facing is. It doesn't matter if it's for you specifically dealing with something on an individual basis or if it's something that we're all having to endure together. God wants to hear about it in prayer. Why? Because when we pray, it means we know that there is someone who is taking care of us. When we pray, it is an expression that we know that God is still looking out for us. And in fact, even when all these bad things are happening in our lives, it means that we understand the promise that all things work together for the good of those who love God. That's the promise that God has made to us. And so when we pray, we recognize that. That He can make even the worst situation turn out for good. Now, sometimes in our life, we have that great privilege where we get to see something awful that happened in our past, and we kind of get to trace it back forward and go, well, now I see why this bad thing had to happen, because then this better thing happened to me in the future. But more often, God doesn't allow us to get clued into those little things. And it's precisely in those moments when we see no way entirely that God could ever turn this to our good is when we need to pray. It's when we need to make this confession that even in the midst of our trouble, He is going to follow through. And in that way, prayer actually becomes a good tool for us. Not just a means by which we ask our Heavenly Father, who cares deeply about us, for things that we want, but prayer then becomes a reminder that God is a provider, that He is a good God, It's a reminder that we need. Honestly, through prayer, what we learn is we learn that we always have something to be thankful for. And that leads us directly into the next part of Paul's epistle. He said, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." He doesn't say whatever's got you down, whatever's really ruining your year, whatever you're least thankful for at Thanksgiving. No, he doesn't want you to think about any of that stuff. And the truth is that even in the midst of a troublesome year like we've experienced, there is still truth in our world, and honor, and justice, and purity, and loveliness, and admiration, and excellence, and all of these things that are worthy of praise. In our own physical lives, God has still provided us with everything we need for this body and life, with everything we need to enter into eternal life. And don't get me wrong, I mean, there are certain places where he has withdrawn his blessing too, right? Those are the ones that are clear to us. But what we need to think about is that, yes, God is still providing. Today, tomorrow, he will into Advent, the Christmas season, and all through the next church year too. We should think of God's blessings, and we should be thankful for them. And of course, you know, not the least of which is something that God will never remove from us. The blessing of his Son. What is truth? It's that God came into human flesh, that way he might lay down his life for you, offering you salvation for all time. That is true. And that's something to be thankful for. What is honorable? But that we deserve to die, that we deserved eternal damnation, and instead our Savior enters into it for us. That he would die for us when we didn't deserve it. That is an honorable thing. What is just? Well, if God's going to be just, it means he has to punish sin. It would be very just of God to punish sin against you. But he doesn't. The just God punishes sin against his Son. Pure, holy, commendable. All of these things find their ultimate meaning in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The one who not only died but was raised from the dead. The one who put his sins on his own shoulders. That way you could go free. That way you could be forgiven. And so you are. We're bogged down by the troubles of this life. But the truth is that, even if you look around this room, we're all bogged down. Even if it wasn't 2020, there are always going to be troubles in the world, and this is why God gives us a Christian, holy community who gathers around his word and his sacraments. That way we can endure the hardships together. In a time of mourning, as if we're experiencing this year, we're all mourning together. In our times of rejoicing, we get to rejoice together, but we get to do it together. Gathered around what Christ has given to us. Whether we realize it or not, we have so much to be thankful for. And so God tells us on this Thanksgiving Eve, and again, tomorrow it should be in the forefronts of your minds. Think about the things that God has done for you. Because whether you are feeling thankful or not, Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has risen from the dead, and that gives you more gifts than you could ever imagine. You are a child of God. Heaven has been torn open for you. You are a member of God's own family through your baptism. God sets a table before you, feeds you with his body and blood, will feed you with the turkey that you get to eat tomorrow. God cares, and he continues to teach you to be content, not with all the blessings that you want, but with all the blessings that he knows are good for you, with all the blessings that he knows that you need. So whether you're facing plenty or hunger, whether you've been lifted up or brought low, in any and every circumstance. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And there should be no end to our thankfulness for that. That will always remain for you. So I'll say it one more time. Thanks be to God for the year 2020. And have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your thankfulness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. At this time, I will direct you to page 159 of your hymnal as we confess together our God-given faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the world. Amen.
Let us pray to the Lord with thanksgiving for the richness of his creation, and for his grace to sustain what he has made, for the bounty of resources that sustain our daily lives, for the good fruit of the earth, by which we and all creatures are fed and nourished, and for all his blessings. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the commands that protect us against harm and guide us into all that is good and pleasing to the Lord. For the gospel, by which we enjoy forgiveness in life, and for courage to share this blessed word with those who do not know the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the government and order in our land and in the world, for those who lead us in this nation, and for all leaders of all nations, for the blessing of justice, the protection of life, and the promotion of virtue, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our life together as God's people in this place, for the church throughout the world, for the missionaries planting new churches, and for our unity in doctrine and life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer illness of body or mind, for those who sorrow at the loss of those they love, and for those near death, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For thankful hearts, that we may not forget the poor and those in need, for generosity, that we may supply from our abundance those in want, and for the tithes and offerings we bring in gratitude for all God's gifts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our vocations and occupations, for the gift of labor and the privilege of enjoying the fruits of that labor, for the unemployed and the underemployed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our faithful remembrance of the saints who went before us, for the ability to rejoice in the mercies the Lord showed to them in their lives, and for the promised day of reunion, when the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we shall join them in everlasting light and life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In all things, O Lord, grant to us grace, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but to honor you above all, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. On our own we have nothing that will endure, but you have granted to us all things in Christ, and the life that does not end. Hear your people for the sake of and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom, in whom, and through whom all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, I'll direct your attention to page 159 as we sing together the offertory. The Lord's Prayer can be found in the back cover of your hymnal. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing together the Common Doxology. Seated.